You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to an after-school special edition of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. And you are listening to Clock Radio Speakers. Check us out at clockradiospeakers.com, powered by Tumblr. Follow us there. Has our iTunes linked. You can follow us and subscribe to us there. Has our SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/clockradiospeakers. You can follow us there. Facebook.com/clockradiospeakers. You can follow us there. And it has our Twitter, which is at CRS Podcast. You can follow us there. Follow us into the promised land. So, of course, as I said on the other episode that we did this week, us is a thing. So, of course, if you are familiar with this episode, you know that I don't do this by myself. That would be kind of boring. So I have my my very well capable co-host, Doc. What's going on, man?
The only places you can find us are we're not on Tinder.
Clock Radio Speakers on Tinder would be hilarious for all the wrong reasons.
Anyway, what's going on, everybody? This is Doc. You can follow me on Twitter at Doc_beats, S not a Z. This is as Armand said when he first started the show, this is a special edition of Clock Radio Speakers. We're doing this episode. We did a previous one in conjunction with them as well, but we're doing this episode in association with 4thDistrict.com.
Yep.
The good folks over there who we're going to partner with on a couple episodes for topics when we sort of step outside the typical, you know, let's review an album. And if you want to hear that, that's wonderful, because we just talked for a long period of time.
Yes, we did.
About Rick Ross, Beyonce, Shady 15, Migos, you name it. You know, your boy, OT Genesis. We talked everything. What were you going to say?
I said we talked baking soda on this episode.
Baking soda. Oh, the juxtaposition between that and what we're talking about today, you could not.
Man.
You could do a thesis about the difference.
You could do a think piece, because that's the cool thing to do nowadays, think piece.
A hot take, they call
it.
Yeah,
hot take.
Oh, God, I sound old. So we're partnering with 4th District when we talk about these sort of, you know, when we have these after-school special episodes, as our mom put it. But we've had these before.
We have. We've had a few. We've had a few great ones.
We over the summer, we talked quite a bit about the murder of Mike Brown and the situation in Ferguson. So we felt that in the aftermath of the decision from the grand jury that we should at least talk about it a little bit. I want to say a couple things before we get started. I'm sure Armand has so much to say. Actually, secret, Armand probably doesn't want to say much. let me say this. I do not intend for this to be like a historical like account of everything that's happened. There's pieces we want to talk about, but there are people online who have done a much better job than I could do in attempting to summarize the facts of what has happened.
Yeah.
There is a lot to talk about. If you are maybe not as up on Ferguson as in the Mike Brown murder and the Darren Wilson not indictment and everything like that, if you are not as up on that as you feel like you want to be, I like to check Vox.com, VOX.com. It's run by the same people who actually run SB Nation and Polygon and The Verge, same network of huge sites. They are really good at sort of distilling down topics into like, hey, what do I need to know so I can converse about this intelligently? It's a good place to start.
We also had previous episodes over the summer.
We did. I went back and I was trying to listen to them and I was like, oh my goodness, I talked a lot.
You did.
I don't know how y'all do it. I can't listen to myself that long.
You preached the sermon. We definitely need to pass the collection plate around for you. So I think, what did we spend? 2 weeks, 3 weeks, two episodes?
We did it was at least like 5 hours talking about.
Yeah. So it was a lot, but it was really, really good. It seems to be an episode that a lot of you guys really enjoyed. So I would recommend, if you haven't heard it, in addition to, you know, Doc's recommendation to go to Vox, I would absolutely check out our episode, which is maybe about, I don't know, 2 months old or something, maybe 10 episodes back or something like that.
Yeah.
10 or so. So not too far back on the clockradiospeakers.com feed.
And what it is, it's actually, you know, it was when we first, not first, but when the situation first started to bubble up, you know, we talked about it then. And then we had the second round of episodes was really in the aftermath of the riots.
Yeah, it was a week after. Right. And then after that was the Nicki Minaj conversation. So it was really interesting to come out of that to talking about, you know, something completely different, but then had a lot to do with each other. It was just really interesting, like when something like that happens, how it makes you look at other things.
Right.
So it was good stuff. Good stuff.
So I'm trying to think of where to begin. I have a lot of thoughts in my head, but I also know that I have a particular... Armand, you said that you wanted to sort of say something.
Did I?
You wanted to sort of make a quick statement.
I don't have anything to say.
Okay.
I don't have anything to say. I purposely...
I'm going to spend the entire episode trying to draw you out.
I know you are.
Okay.
But I'm saying this, like, I have not said anything on social media prior to. I asked people to pray for the situation, be sensitive to everybody involved. Other than that, like, there's not really a whole lot to say. You know, I'm sure Doc will get more out of me than word, and that's what's up. And I agree. I'm sure I'll chime in because Doc is known to do that. But I'm just charged now more than ever to like make my hands and my feet and my heart match my words. You know what I'm saying? I think now we get it, and it needs to, it, something like this needs to move us in a different direction. And I can't, and when I say us, I have to lead that. If it's my conviction, then I have to be led by that conviction. And my conviction is to do something, to think different, to see things different, more compassion, more love, more paying attention, reprioritizing things. So talking about it for me right now, but I'm sure Doc will get a little more out of me than that. I'm sure this isn't going to be like a Doc show.
I hope not.
So yeah, man.
So how do we feel about the newest TV star in America, the prosecutor from St. Louis County, who apparently decided that last night, and we're recording this on, I should say last night, on the night of Monday, November 24th, decided it was his show.
Man.
I have never seen anything like that in my life.
I've never heard anything so biased.
So
blatantly biased. Shockingly biased.
Even just the whole like notion of there being like the prosecutor, you know, he is sort of the county prosecutor, right? That's his title.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting, and that even just the fact that he is in that position, first of all, that's a political position. That's elected.
Absolutely.
So you have somebody who is an elected official using a process in one of the more distorted ways I can imagine. So
Jesus.
The point of a grand jury is the prosecutor is supposed to, it's just the prosecutor brings enough evidence to say, look, there's some probable cause here. We shouldn't make this go to trial.
Yeah.
That it is typically a small sampling of evidence. Couple pieces. It's just enough. It's enough so that people can look at it and go, okay, there's enough here. And that is not at all what happened. People have been talking a lot about, frankly, his, you know, the prosecutor has police in his family. He has known for sort of protecting police in the past. And I think there in general is, there's an interesting relationship in America between the police and the people that they protect or are supposed to protect. Right. And I think that obviously this is going to sound really duh, but, you know, obviously that relationship dramatically depending on what and who you are and what you look like. Right. One interesting reaction I've seen from people around the world is this is not like a Western society thing. Right. And I'm not trying to be imperialist when I say that. Right. To sort of say, oh, those other cultures. But like when I mean by Western society, I mean modern culture. Like so it. You know, in England, in Germany, in European countries, and in other countries that have relatively similar rule of law that we do, this sort of protection of police does not exist. This is an American thing. Trying to understand this a little bit better. I've been trying to, because it's really easy to see what happened and to be very angry. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very easy to do that. And I'm trying to look at this, and I have the luxury of being in that position because I'm a white male. And I look, let's be honest, I have the luxury of being able to relatively dispassionately look at this. So I'm trying to play the role that I can.
Yeah.
Right? I can look at this and go, like, how did we get, it's not even how did we get to this point, because people have talked about this. What I'm trying to figure out is there a way out, right? So you have the police who are, have protections in place. And if you look at it sort of in a, so like just by itself, you can kind of understand that, right? Which is if police are carrying weapons and if they are in the line of duty, they are human beings. Mistakes might be made. And in order to make sure that they don't, you know, the, I think the idea is, okay, well, we don't want for police to not feel like they can use their weapons out of fear that if they ever make a mistake, they'll be hauled in front of a judge. There, that is more or less the idea behind why there are protections afforded to police. Now, the problem is that we just have a huge, well, there's a lot of problems there, right? So number one, that might work if you had a police force that reflected the people that they're supposed to protect. That might work if police were really in the old school protect and serve mentality and we didn't have this militarization of police, right? And that really might work if you have police that frankly are largely white and they are arresting people who are largely black. And there are reasons behind, there are reasons why that is the case. This is a really bad example, but I want, I'm interested to see if you have a comment about this. So you know how after a while, like, you get a teacher who just hates kids, or how sports writers, you can tell that they like don't like the athletes they cover.
Like Woj and LeBron?
Because they are so close to it. They see the same thing day after day. Teachers teach these kids and they start to focus on the things that they don't like about the kids, not realizing that there's a bigger picture here.
Yeah.
When you have a largely white police force that day in and day out is dealing in negative situations with African Americans or other people of color, they are so close to the situation that some, not all, I don't, I'm not trying to paint a broad stroke here to say that every single cop is like this, but some begin to dislike those that they're supposed to protect and serve, right?
Sure.
They don't understand why you have overwhelmingly more black people in poverty in this country than white people.
Yeah.
They don't have the luxury of that view of the world. They don't see the institutionalized racism because they're so close to it. They see the result and they assume, some of them, that it's a simple, well, black people are like this. It's an awful, obviously it's an awful thing. But you get this, you know, Armand, I don't even know if we should record this. I'm not really getting anywhere. I don't like this. I'm rambling. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm serious. What am I doing right now?
That's what I'm saying, man. There's nothing to talk about.
I'm just rambling because,
It's like you're trying to make sense of something that just doesn't make sense. And I know you're a very logical person, but it's like this just does not make sense.
But it does make sense.
It does make sense.
So let's talk about that.
Okay. We just live in a broken system.
A broken system. Totally. So go ahead.
Everything is broken. Everything is broken. We can't just look at, okay, so the racism is broken. The economic status is broken. The social class is broken. It's all broken. It's set up to protect, but it's not set up to protect us. It's set up to protect the things that keep quote unquote America moving. So it's not for us. So we can't rely on it. It is what it is. The battle lines have been drawn. We see your hand. You have played, you have put out your draw four and you're changing the color to pink. And Uno doesn't even have pink cards. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's what it is. We just have to realize that everything that we have thought that we had the right to have, we don't have the right to that anymore. We don't. New rules, hashtag. You know what I'm saying? It's just all different now. So the question is, what do we do from here? What do we do individually? Because we can't say, all right, well, we're going to vote more people in government because right now we don't trust the government. We're going to get a new police force. No, they're going to militarize the police. And then that goes into martial law and a whole bunch of other stuff. What do you do every day when you wake up in the morning? What can you do to better your environment, your sphere of influence that you have, your friends, your families, your coworkers, and even strangers that you meet along the way? How are you going to affect them? How can you affect them? What resources do you have to make things better for them so that they have more opportunity to do whatever it is that they have planned to do in their individual endeavors. That's it. Because anything else outside of that, Doc, does not work anymore. It doesn't. We cannot rely on it anymore. Straight up. And I don't rely on it. I'm not going to rely on it. Until I see some sort of substantial change, I have to do what's best for Armand and his two kids and those around him. And that's it. That's it. I can't go on as an artist, as a rapper. I cannot go on tour when I don't know my neighbor, when people in my own community don't know who I am. We have to not have the title of local be a bad word. Local, it should be an honor for people, for you to serve the community with whatever your talent or your purpose or whatever creative, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual drive, whatever that is. If it betters the community and it only betters your community, that's better than if you go to, what's the difference between you going to New Zealand to go on tour and then stuff is messed up and then we get mad at the military for sending people to Afghanistan when our own resources are messed up at home? It's the same thing, bro. We have to control what we can control.
No, So,
but, okay, hold on. Go ahead. But we can control something.
Okay, good. What can we control?
We can, like, this is what I'm realizing, man. I'm realizing this just in my rapper, all this stuff. Like, these media outlets, like, because let's talk about this.
Okay.
We were trying to figure out how we were going to put Bill Cosby into this. So people are like, oh, you don't let them use Bill Cosby to distract you to what's really going on. Listen, in 2014, if you're distracted, it's your fault. We don't like when you and I were growing up, your dad would come home. Your parents would come home. They would turn on the TV. They'd watch the news and they'd flip open the newspaper. Whatever was in that newspaper and whatever was on the TV was gospel. That was it. You didn't have much outside influence. So if it didn't show up in the paper and if it did not show up on your TV, it didn't happen. Look at The Wire. When Omar died, it couldn't fit in the paper. If that's a spoiler, you should have watched The Wire by now. But when Omar died, they could not fit it in the paper. They didn't think it was important enough, so they didn't put it in there. All that Omar did, as important as he was to that show, he did not fit in the newspaper. And ultimately, that was an underlying statement that his life did not matter. Right? On the flip side of that, we live in what, Doc? The information age. Most of us, when we wake up in the morning, we roll over, we grab our phone, we check our notifications, our emails, our Twitters, our Instagram, our Facebook, whatever. You have the ability to see whatever it is. Now, we follow these major outlets. Most of us follow CNN. We follow whoever, whatever, whatever. And we have a synopsis and a link. And we have the option to click that link and read and then determine whatever, whatever. If we don't, we can scroll past and go to something else. The way that the internet is set up right now, there is so much information. There are so many directions that you can go into. You have the ability to determine what news matters to you and what you want to present to your audience. Now, these media outlets need something to happen. And correct me if I'm wrong, Doc, and expound on it or whatever. But these media outlets, these websites, these blogs, these writers, these journalists, whatever, they need something to report on. So if they're going to take something small and stretch it, that's what they're going to do. But ultimately, we have the ability. They need us. Because then when we click on their website, we're giving them ad revenue and advertising dollars and attention and all that other stuff. And we're basically keeping their machine running. Now, if we don't give them something to talk about, because God, we're just going to do stuff. And no matter what we do, we're just humans and it's just a bunch of stuff is going to happen. However, we just realized that we are able to control what we control. And that in itself is power. The ability to say, I'm going to accept this and I'm going to reject that. That is power, and that is not what whatever entities, because I don't want to get spooky, but whatever entities that keep our country and keep our world turning, like that's what they rely on, is the fact that we're relying on them, but we don't have to. They rely on us more than they lead on. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that you can control somebody by not spending your money on them. They're talking about, you know, shutting down Black Friday, whatever, whatever. I get that. That's a stance and I respect it. And that's cool. But something to that. They're not going to listen to your ears. They're not going to pay attention until you start hitting their pockets, until you start hitting stuff that's connected to their heart, stuff that matters and that's important to them. You know what I'm saying? So like if it's important to you, find a way. And I don't know the answer. Honestly, I don't. I'm obviously still very emotionally charged. And Doc, you got me to talk. I hate you. Like,
and it's funny. I got you to talk by, I literally was sitting there trying to figure it out. And then I was like, that's it. I give up.
Like, we
I just Kaiser Soze'd you is what I did.
You totally did. You Kaiser Soze'd. Now I have to watch Usual Suspects. Thanks.
Let me say this about the media before.
Go ahead.
There used to be, and so I'm going to say this with some caveats. So there used to be this sort of generally understood notion that the job of the media was to try to really find the truth. And
yes. Mm-hmm.
In some, but now that was always influenced by, you know, what's the phrase? History is written by the winners, right? I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, but. Absolutely. Look, the WWE Network, fam, like, it is some of the most revisionist. They're showing stuff on the Monday Night Wars, and like, it's just like WCW was like Satan and Vince McMahon was the savior of the world of professional wrestling, and he did all things right, and right. We all owe our lives and our loyalty to him. So yes,
history is written by the winner. To the winner goes the spoils, but
absolutely.
Generally, news tried to get it as well as they could. Get it as right as they could. The problem we have now is we have, before I talk about now, so we had really major magazines, nationwide newspapers, of course, local newspapers, and then we had the big networks. And then even when cable first started, they were all still big, trying to get a nationwide audience. Yeah. It really wasn't until the late 90s,
yes.
And then really into the early 2000s, when you mm-hmm. started to get the fragmentation.
Mm-hmm.
Here is a news network that is pandering towards this audience.
Absolutely. Was Fox News kind of like the birth of that?
They were. Okay. Fox News, founded by Roger Ailes, owned by Rupert Murdoch. But Roger Ailes...
I didn't know that Raucus was funded by Rupert Murdoch. That's
he funds
nuts.
A lot of stuff. I mean, he owns Fox. I mean, like, it was always weird to me that the same people don't really realize it now, but in the early 90s, Fox was like pushing buttons. Like, The Simpsons was controversial.
Oh my God, were they?
Right.
Absolutely.
So Fox, the network, was known for really being like on the edge of stuff. Like, remember Temptation Island?
vaguely. I kind of remember that.
The early 2000s run of Fox reality shows were all so tawdry and awful. I mean, I watched them because I was a college kid and I was stupid. But it always struck me as odd that there'd be this, the same guy who is hyper-conservative and owns such a hyper-conservative network has television programming that is not conservative. It wasn't until later on that I recognized the connection, which is that they've always known that sex sells.
Mm-hmm.
It's why there isn't every female anchor on Fox News is always wearing heels and short skirts, and they're always trying Absolutely. To show it off as much as possible.
Absolutely, yes.
Roger Ailes, who is in charge of Fox News, he was running things for Richard Nixon, the dirtiest president ever.
Wow.
So Fox News really set a standard,
wow.
right? And all the other ones caught up. They tried to play catch up, right? And so that, the emergence of blogs, the explosion of social media means that, yes, it is true. If you are somebody who wants to get a balanced view, it has never been more possible to do so. It has never been easier. However, conversely, it is also way easier to never get a balanced view.
Yes.
To only hear things in a certain way.
Absolutely. Yes. 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 And that's just as detrimental.
I would argue that is probably worse.
Yeah.
It is incredibly unfortunate that in the era, like say the 60s or the 70s, yes, it is unfortunate that we had such a monolithic media. But there was a real attempt at sort of display what happens and then try to be middle of the road about it. and they weren't always perfect. But nobody does that anymore. Instead, and what it used to be is it used to be this notion of, you know, like, so there's a famous phrase about Vietnam, which is when the president lost Cronkite on Vietnam, he knew he lost America because Walter Cronkite was such an influential news anchor. And but that meant that a news anchor actually had an opinion for ABC and NBC and CBS. Have you ever heard them have an opinion?
Not until recently.
It's always here's the Republican and here's the Democrat and blah blah blah, and it's never well, no, actually there's a truth in here somewhere. We have become a country where the mainstream viewpoint on things is, well, there's a right and there's a left, and oh, who knows what it is, and it's like, no, in some cases there's a truth
and how you feel about it is irrelevant, and we've made how we feel about things and our opinion on things, we've given that more power than it should have. Look, 1 + 1 = 2. I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care your response. I don't care about your think piece. 1 + 1 = 2.
I don't it need a four-person panel on Fox News.
At all. I don't need, there's nothing to discuss. It's like your parents growing up, like you're not leaving the house wearing that. Your curfew's at 10 o'clock. You're going to eat this for dinner. Like there was no discussion. Nowadays there's a discussion. Well, so what do you like? You don't like this pork chop? Listen,
I don't even have kids, so I always feel like I shouldn't talk about it, but I think we even talk about it on the show. The desire of some parents to be their kid's best friend instead of their parent.
To be their friend. And I think being a friend with my kids, I am their friend, but they know. They know that they know. Like dad is not gonna play that at all. And if they try me, they're going to feel the wrath. You know what I'm saying? So, no. But yes, some people parent out of their insecurities and things that they wanted, and there was things that they didn't get. So they're like, I'm because I didn't get it from my parents, I'm just going to make sure that when I have kids, I'm going to overcompensate. You know what I'm saying? Rather than distribute it in a balanced way. There's just no balance.
I mean,
that's basically what you and I've been saying for the last 10 minutes. We need balance.
Right. There is no balance. You're right. And so my retort to you is you were saying that you were sort of putting the onus on people to say that in this world, it is an individual's obligation to go find that balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think balance is profitable. So
no, absolutely.
So, and because, you know, out of all the things that you could point to things that are wrong with our culture, To me, it is how focused it is on profit and how that has bled in to all aspects of our lives, how that has influenced how the news happens, how that has influenced how politics is run.
Yeah.
The sort of default assumption that rah, rah, we're capitalists, therefore, if it's about money, it's good. That is a poisonous influence on our entire culture.
Oh, my God.
And it has led us to this place where it's not profitable to be balanced because that doesn't get you clicks, doesn't get you hashtags, right? And so it is, you know, in a society that has this reward system based around if it makes money, it must be good. Then,
right, absolutely.
Yes, I agree that in an ideal world, people should be able to pick out a sort of a wide variety of things, but our culture is trying to make it as difficult as possible for them to do so. Yep. Just like, I mean, really, honestly, it's not that dissimilar of an argument from, yes, people should be able to pick out healthy food to eat. However, our entire food complex is built around the idea that no, choice is good and da da da, and we're America, and if I want to eat this, I'm going to eat this. And it ends up being profound. It is the messages that are delivered to people, the way that advertising works, it is actually very difficult to wade through that noise and to get the healthy food. It has never been in the modern food era where things are mass produced, where things are delivered to grocery stores and you're not shopping so local. In the modern era, it has never been easier to actually get healthy food if you really want it. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
But it is so exceedingly difficult because it's not profitable. And so I see news the same way where people could be better informed, but because it's profitable to be controversial and because it's profitable to make things really easy, instead what you get is, and it's weird. So in one sense, there are two things that are really profitable. either you are so middle of the road bland that you're just like a nothing. And there's really, you're getting like a, well, could be this, could be that. Or you're super 180 degrees out to the side, like super left or super right. And instead, what people need is the whole spectrum.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So how is this tying into Cosby?
Well, we can talk about, you know, we can talk about Cosby in the sense of, well, he has basically been found guilty in the court of public opinion because so many people have accused him.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, whether it's true or not, I'm not saying, no, he could have never done that. He's Bill Cosby. He's America's dad. I'm not saying that it's not feasible. What I am saying is that just because a bunch of people say you did something, it doesn't mean that you did it, and that shouldn't cause, it shouldn't. Now, it shouldn't cause companies and people who have aligned themselves up with you to take away money from you.
Yes, it
take
should.
Away. What's that?
Yes, it should.
Because of an accusation?
No.
Because I say something about
because
you?
Because of 19 accusations.
Because I say it's still an accusation.
It's 19 accusations. And by the way, his name is Bill Cosby, and he called it the Bill Cosby Show, but he was Cliff Huxtable, right?
Hold on.
Whole image is Cliff Huxtable.
It is.
He is trying to be a certain type of person to these companies. So guess what? If there's a chink in the armor, yeah, you have to pay for it. You cannot look. Here's how I look at it. Let's say you have one accusation, which should be taken seriously, right? And like, let's say I look at it. It's weird. I look at it from like a math standpoint. Like, let's say not even 50-50. Like, even let's say there's a 10% chance he's guilty, right?
Yeah.
When you add up the 19 different accusations and the clearly what appears to be a pattern, although I'm sure somebody could look at it and say, oh, they're just copycats.
Yeah.
But there clearly appears to be, like, the number of people coming out of the woodwork on this. For this to all be fake, and I mean all fake, for it to all be not true, that seems mathematically impossible to me. Because the number of accusations has reached a turning point.
I get it. Like, I'm not going to fight someone who takes a different stance of mine, because I get it. I understand. Like, you're not the first person who says that, because at the end of the day, it's about dollars. It's about money. And if there's heat on you for something that could possibly ruin my brand, then I'm going to remove myself from you. So I get that perspective. My only thing is, like, it's a rumor. It's something somebody said, and it's not the first time somebody has done it, where it's like, I could get 10 of my friends and say, well, Doc picks his nose. And like, now there's 11 accusations that Doc picks his nose. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that is not what's happening in the Cosby case.
What is happening in the Cosby case?
Tons of documented stuff that has been people have said, oh, we slipped it under the rug. Oh, we took it to the police. Like, this isn't like people just said it in a news story. There's a lot of stuff.
The only one I saw that somebody there was documented, and the only one that made me go, oh, word, was the Janice Dickerson thing, where she wrote it in her book in 2002 and his lawyers was like, nah, and shut it down. That's an eyebrow raiser. That's a red flag. But anything else outside of that, I haven't seen anything past accusations. I didn't see anything past accusations. I didn't even see any links to anything. I just saw another person has come. And the funny part is, Doc, okay, this isn't the first time this came up.
Yeah, I know.
But it's funny that this thing came up from a joke.
Right.
Somebody, who was it? Hannibal Buress? Burris made a joke about it. And everybody was like, oh, word? Google, 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 Google. And now here we are. Crazy.
Right. I mean, because nobody wanted to believe it. It's Bill Cosby. It's Cliff Huxtable.
It's Cliff Huxtable.
It's just like with Joe Paterno in Penn State. Nobody wanted to believe it.
And that's crazy. And he died right after that. That's nuts. That was the crazy part to me.
Is that he died?
He died like right after. It's almost like those, you know, like back in like the, like, I don't know what century it was. So I didn't even want to throw a number out. But like, they used to say people would like die of broken hearts and stuff.
Right.
Like, that's just crazy. Like, wow. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just like, wow, really? Like, his life was so wrapped around Penn State that when all of that happened and it all fell apart, it seemingly literally killed him. And that's just crazy. It's like, wow, that's all.
I'm trying to figure out if there's anything else to say about Cosby. He's done, right?
Yeah, he's probably done. I mean, it's funny because you saw, I'm sure you follow Mashable on Twitter. Like somebody live tweeted a sold out show he had in, I think it was Sydney, Australia. Yeah. And he got a standing ovation
because,
and I think it was a sold out. Was it 70,000 seat venue?
Because something like that? It's just, I mean, honestly, it's, you know, Darren Wilson had, you know, got over $400,000 worth of money donated to him.
Fam, and he got married this weekend.
Right.
Like, what up?
Anytime something happens, some amount of people will rally around. I mean, Paula Deen.
Oh man, I'm still mad I didn't get. I was working part time at JCPenney when that happened. I'm still mad I didn't get any of her stuff because that stuff got marked down like crazy. They were trying to get rid of that stuff fast.
Why would you want it?
I mean, it's good quality cookware. Relax.
Oh, can good quality cookware be the name of the show? Because that's
good quality cookware. That's a cut. Yeah, so we're going to talk about Ferguson and Bill Cosby and title it Good Quality Cookware. You're writing it down right now.
Of course I am. Let me ask you this about Ferguson.
Okay, what's up?
Were you really surprised?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Was there any point in this process where you thought that this might go a different way?
Yes.
When?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily a point. I just had hope. Like there was a realization like, man, there's way too much probable cause. I didn't think that, you know, they were going to get on and just completely doo-doo on like Twitter as a staff, record label and as a crew and anybody who ever tweeted or shared any evidence. Like, I know they're going to do that. Which kind of to me is evidence of power because they had to get on and actually like reference, hey, all of this information that you guys have seen on social media is not true. Like, they had to actually address it rather than ignore it. But just during the process, I'm just like, you know what? It's not looking good, but I still have hope. I had hope.
I'll tell you what, I really just am continued to be blown away by the arrogance of that prosecutor.
Fam.
And like, this is, let me say this much. One thing that I always hear from people is I think people, almost universally, people, when they see incompetence, they assume conspiracy and vice versa, right? So I don't think that this guy is a mastermind. I think he's an idiot.
Who, Darren Wilson or the prosecutor?
The prosecutor.
Yeah.
He's not a mastermind.
No, he didn't
want to do this. And he, I mean, because I'll tell you, a mastermind, somebody who's trying to actually someone who's trying to actually implement a conspiracy doesn't get up and grandstand. You've seen The Incredibles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was really waiting for him to go, "You caught me monologuing." Like, that was basically what he was doing.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. He is an elected official who is way too cozy with the police. He never wanted to do this. It was this really twisted, weird thing where instead of bringing the grand jury a little bit of the evidence, you give them all the evidence because in his eyes, he's like, "I don't want to deal with it. Let them deal with it." And instead, what happened? There's too much stuff. He should have never brought Darren Wilson in to testify. He made so many mistakes. Like, it's such a process. But I know some people look at this and go, "Oh, like, he did it on purpose." And it's like, well, I mean, he did it on purpose, but it's not like he sat there and goes, "Okay, so first I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this."
Mm-hmm.
When you have somebody who arguably has racist tendencies, who is close with police, who defends police, who doesn't see this as a problem, who is elected by a primarily white group of voters, presumably a chunk of which want a quote-unquote law and order type response, what did you expect was going to happen?
Mm.
It's the entire system. He is a product of the system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We can get mad at him or we can try to fix the system.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounds weird, but I think it's easier to change systems than it is people.
Mm. I don't know, but
because
then you still
when
have
you
to work.
Try to change people, there's backlash.
That's true, but you can change the system, but if the people do not respond to the change of the system, the system's going to end up back where it was.
It takes time.
It takes plenty of time.
And I'll tell you, that's really the whole messed up problem.
And it might take generations, because it took us generations to get here.
Right. Is that it is so unfair to tell a section of this country that unfortunately you have to wait, because you are right that this is a travesty, but nothing can fix it fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how, I'm trying to think of another example where people who are clearly not in the seat of power, where a group of people who clearly feel somewhat disenfranchised, and I'm using somewhat, I mean, that could really range. Some people could rightfully so feel very disenfranchised with this country, feel like they don't have a say, like they are not taken seriously. Right. So I'm trying to think of another example where a group has been in that situation and they've been able to play the system, play the long game, and actually have it work out. Right. There's a modern example of a group that wanted to change the system and did so very slowly. And that would be the Republican Party, who has driven sections of this country more conservative than they have been forever. In the response to the very quick changes in the systems in the 60s, the attempted changes, Johnson's attempted Great Society, the introduction of Medicare, the passing of civil rights legislation, the emergence of the Black Power movement, the emergence of the women's liberation movement in the 70s, there was a significant backlash to this. So there was first the backlash, but then slowly, you see conservatives over time winning elections, getting more judges in the right places. But this is a group of people who is heavily white and male, a group that is privileged enough to be able to take that long view.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how I can ask a group that doesn't have that privilege to take the long view. Mm. But I don't know any other way.
I think that's the point where we just kind of, I think we probably end on this note. Like, you learn when you get out and you bump your head. And I think we can talk and we can plan and we can prepare. But at this point, as I said in the beginning of the show, we just need to get out and like put our hands on things. You know what I'm saying? Like, and from there, we're just going to figure it out. Okay, this works. This doesn't work. And go from there. If we have time, and if we have generations, we need to make sure that we are beginning to lay down a groundwork so that our kids can build off of what we started, because they're going to be where we are very soon, very soon. And we don't want to give them this world. We give them some of the world, not all of it. We're not like in, it's not like a zombie apocalypse or nothing like that. But there's some things that I don't want to give to my kids. There's some things in this world that I deal with that I do not. My prayer is that my kids do not deal with them at all. But if they do, that they are well prepared to deal with them. You know what I'm saying? In a healthy manner, one that is fruitful. That's my hope, and that's my goal. That's my mission. Now, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, I think that's it for this week.
Okay.
Thank you all for listening. Please use the hashtag Clack Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. Thanks to 4th District for partnering with us on this episode. And I really have nothing else to say. You good, man?
Straight, G.
All right.